That's awesome. Y'all didn't realize there was just about as many people over there, up there, as there is in here, right? Give me just a little more if you would. Praise God. Praise God. I'll let everybody kind of get situated. Isn't God good? I said, isn't God good? And all the time, God is good. Speaking of God's goodness, I walked in here Thursday morning, and basically, if you've been on social media, you've already seen some of the pictures, but this portion of the roof was just gone, and there was a tarp that had been placed over it that was just gone, and about where the Eubanks are sitting from to about where Karev and Annabelle are sitting, and this whole portion all the way up through the stage was just absolutely soaked in water. And here's what I mean by God is good. First of all, hey, things are not completed yet. The roof is still in process, but we're having church without water features. If you were here last Sunday, you know what I mean by that. We had a sweet little waterfall right over here. We just needed some koi fish, and it would have been a, you know, I mean, come on. But here's what's miraculous. Don, was it Thursday night you came, Don? Thursday night, Don came and tested all of the electronics, and I mean, water was everywhere. And praise be unto the Lord, everything worked. Like, I'm just, yeah. And here's what's crazy about that and amazing about that is that, like, we would have just this whole, let's just say right here, a whole area would be drenched, and then a foot away would be some very expensive electronic device, and it was bone dry. So, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You guys ready to get in the Word today? I want you to go in your Bible to the book of Ecclesiastes. I know. You don't hear that one often. Give me a little more if you would, man. Ecclesiastes. And listen, there ain't no shame in using the table of contents. Can I get an amen? We're going to Ecclesiastes, and we're also going to go to 1 Samuel. Now, that one's a little easier to find. It's a little bigger. We're going to be in Ecclesiastes 4, and then we'll flip backwards to 1 Samuel. We're continuing our series today called The House of David. Interestingly enough, Ecclesiastes was written by David's son, Solomon. And then 1 Samuel, we're going back and we're discussing part of the story where we left off a couple of weeks ago. David has been anointed king by the prophet Samuel. God has spoken in Saul's reign is destined to come to an end. David, in a secret ceremony with his father and his brothers, has been anointed to be the future king of Israel. It's sometime after this, David was recruited by the house of Saul to go and play the harp, or in the more ancient language, it would have been called the lyre, for Saul, as he was essentially being demonized, as the Lord had removed his hand of blessing from his life because of Saul's pride and arrogance. And David, under the anointing of the Lord, would play this instrument, and comfort would come into Saul's life. And then at some point after this, Saul and the armies of Israel are fighting the Philistines in the Valley of Elah, and one of their greatest champions steps forth to fight against one of the greatest champions of the kingdom of Israel, and it's kind of a winner take all match, right? You guys with me this morning? And David is just going to deliver some food to his brothers per his father's command. And David gets there and he hears Goliath. Anybody ever heard of that name before? Come on, you ain't got to have gone to a church in a day in your life to know who David and Goliath is, right? And he hears the taunting of Goliath, and so David, he starts asking some questions. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, And before you know it, David's out here, just a teenager with a sling and a stone facing a guy over 9 feet tall. And with nothing more than a sling and a stone plus the anointing of the Lord, which makes all the difference. Can I get an amen? He walks out and he defeats Goliath. And so that's where we're picking up. But let's first go to Ecclesiastes, because I want to read this. Can we stand as we read God's word together? Not long after David defeats Goliath, he is introduced to Saul's son, a man named Jonathan. And in the friendship of David and Jonathan, we get to see one of the most powerful examples of the way godly and life-giving relationships are to function. And so this is what Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 9. He says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Simple, but profound. Now let's flip back to 1 Samuel chapter 18. If you got a Bible, you can flip over. If not, you can watch on the screen there. 1 Samuel chapter 18. This is right after David and Goliath. After David had finished talking with Saul, he met Jonathan, the king's son. There was an immediate bond between them, for Jonathan loved David. From that day on, Saul kept David with him and would not let him return home. And Jonathan made a solemn pact or a covenant with David because he loved him as he loved himself. Jonathan sealed the covenant by taking off his robe. Now, this is very significant. I want you to understand, if you're reading this without the eyes of understanding, it just seems like Jonathan's kind of being weird, if we're being honest. But there's something very significant happening in this moment, and we'll get to it in just a second. Jonathan sealed the pact by taking off his robe and giving it to David, together with his tunic, his sword, his bow, and his belt. And so what I want to do for a few moments today is talk about how David and Jonathan exemplify a true life-giving relationship where we recognize that we always beats me. We is always greater than me. Jonathan protected David and stood by David and even surrendered his rights to the throne to David. David served Jonathan, he protected Jonathan, and he wound up protecting Jonathan's family even after Jonathan's own death. Let's pray and let's jump right into it. Father, we're grateful today for the mighty move of your Spirit in us and through us. And God, we just ask that over the next several moments that, Lord, as I preach, that you would spiritually help me to step aside so that you can speak to our hearts and minds. God, I pray today that for those of us in the room who struggle with godly relationships and godly friendships, Lord, that you would help us in that struggle, that you would bring people into our lives that would be friends, that you would help us to be the kind of friends, the people, the men, the women that you've called us to be, to put others before ourselves. And Lord, that we would honor you in all things and all ways. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. And Lifehouse said, amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise as you're being seated. Is it all right if I just jump right on into this? You jump, I jump. All right. Well, I can't jump very high, so we probably got that. I don't know. You can probably jump higher than me. let's don't find out, okay? Let's don't say we did. All right. All right, everybody else, you ready to get into this? In life-giving relationships, this is point number one, we serve one another. in life-giving relationships, we serve one another. Jonathan is the crown prince of Israel. He is the king in waiting. But in removing his cloak, in removing his sword, his bow, in giving those to David, even if he is not completely aware of it in this moment, Jonathan is choosing to recognize God's anointing on David's life. And he is laying aside his comfort, his privileges, and his rights because he sees something in David relationally that maybe even in this moment he could not explain it. But he recognizes there is something about this person. And how many of you understand that in life-giving relationships, God is in the middle of those relationships, and he is the one binding us together, right? He's the one leading in those us in those relationships. And so you need to understand that if we're going to exist in life-giving relationships with one another. Now, I want you to also understand this. This applies to our marriages. This applies to our relationships with our children. This applies to our relationships with our friends, our coworkers, everyone in this room. Even if you don't know everyone's name, here's the deal. We are part of a kingdom family. How many of you understand that kingdom blood is actually thicker than blood just because you share the same last name. Kingdom blood is thicker because here's the thing. Even though we may not share biological relation, well, first of all, we do because we all came from the same two people. Can I get an amen? Even though we may look a little different, even though we may talk a little different, even though we may have come from different parts of the world or different parts of the country, we are bound together in Christ Jesus. We are each and every one of us made in the image of God. And we are, you know, I came from a church when I got saved in a very small little country church. The whole church was about as big as this section of seating right here, the whole seating area. But everyone in that, nobody, can just look at your neighbor and say, nobody. Nobody called each other by their name. If you, it'd be, Brother Stephen, how you doing today? It sure is good to see you, Brother Stephen. God bless you, brother. God, Sister Sarah, sure is good to see you today. God bless you, right? That was how we talked to everybody. That's even as a teenager, that's how I was talked to. Brother Drew, it's good to see you today, right? And I used to think that was so weird. I was like, you ain't my brother. I ain't got no brothers, all right? I ain't got no sisters. Like, I thought that was so funny. I thought it was so strange. But, you know, looking back on it, it kind of makes sense. Right? It's a reminder that we are in this together. Right? And so point number one, and maybe the most important aspect of living in life-giving relationships with one another, is we must recognize if we're going to give life, and that's what we want to do. But you know why we want to give life? It's because we want to receive life. Point number one, we got to be willing to serve one another. Serving others requires humility and sacrifice. It requires humility and sacrifice. Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and he says this in Philippians chapter 2. He says, don't be selfish and don't try to impress others. You know why he tells you not to try to impress other people? Because if I'm trying to impress Denora, I might mistreat somebody else so I look better to her, right? Because it's the way humans work. Because we don't understand this, especially as kids. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why bullying exists predominantly with younger people, but it also exists with adults as well, right? We think wrongly that in order to elevate myself, the easiest and quickest way to do that is to de-elevate someone else. Is de-elevate a word? Did I just make up a word? It is today, right? Right? But that's not true. The way it works in the kingdom, look at your neighbor and say, we're kingdom people. If I want to be greater, the only way in God's eyes, the only way in the kingdom that I can be exalted is if I make myself low. The only way I can be promoted is if I willingly make myself low so that I can lift others up. The world judges greatness by how many people serve you, but in the kingdom, greatness is judged by how many people you choose to serve. That's why Jesus said the first will be last and the last will be first in my kingdom, right? Paul says don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. How many of you understand the humility is not a way that you feel or a way that you act? Humility is a choice that you make, not to think less of yourself, but to think of yourself less. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Now, how many of you will also be honest with me this morning and say, this does not come naturally? It does not come easily. It takes recognizing that this is a requirement, first and foremost, to live in a way that honors the Lord. Because these are commands, right? This is what it means to follow Jesus. Be humble. Don't think of yourself as better than others. Don't try to impress people. Don't be selfish, right? But we make a choice I don't know if it's a word. I need someone to let me know after service if it is, to de-elevate ourselves. Not to put ourselves down. That's not what I mean. But we make ourselves low so that we can lift others up high, right? Understand that. And I'm going off on some tangents, but I think this is the Lord. Think, keyword. Okay. Understand that you putting yourself down and talking negatively of yourself is not humility. It's actually pride. We think wrongly that if I think bad of myself, that is making me humble. But it's actually the same thing as thinking good of yourself. It's still pride. Because you see, pride is a spectrum, right? Pride is a spectrum. Because either way, if I'm thinking too highly of myself or if I'm thinking too lowly of myself, I'm still just thinking about myself. And therefore, it's pride. So Paul goes on. He says, don't look out for your own interest, but take an interest in others as well. Peter, when he writes his epistle, he says it this way in 1 Peter chapter 4. He says, most important of all. That's, okay, this must be really important. How many of you agree? If Peter, who experienced the resurrected Christ, was filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and preached the first Christian sermon ever, where 3,000 people were saved in one afternoon, he comes to us and he's writing and he says, all right, I've said a lot of stuff, but here's the most important thing I have to say to you today. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. How many of you understand real love doesn't point out the shortcomings of others? Real love tries to find a way to cover them for them, right? Now, I don't mean that we're asking people, trying to let people get away with stuff, but it just means that I want to protect. Sometimes we got to work to protect our friends from themselves because we know their hearts. Love covers a multitude of sins. Verse 9, cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. I just want to ask you, who can you today begin serving without expecting anything in return? Let me make it real easy for you. If you're married, today you can begin serving your spouse with a newfound commitment to exalt their needs and their desires and their wants over your own. Come on, that's worth a better amen than that. Can I tell you, parents, you can serve your kids. Can I tell you, I wish my dad would have heard this sermon. God didn't give you children so they could serve you. I'm not saying we don't teach responsibility and we don't. Listen, if you love your kids, you need to work your kids. Right? Come on, that's real good preaching. Kristen said amen. Amen. Right? But God didn't give you kids so you could serve them. God gave you kids so you could exemplify the love of God by serving them. God gave you children to steward them. They're not your kids first. They're his kids first, right? So we can serve our spouse. We can serve our kids. We can serve our neighbors, right? Maybe your neighbor, listen, grass is starting to grow, y'all. That's the only thing I don't like about this time of year, that and the fact that my face tries to turn inside out with allergies and pollen. We drove up yesterday, or maybe it was the day before, and Kristen said, I think it's about time to cut the grass. I said, the Lord rebuke you, lady. You keep that bad news to yourself. But maybe your neighbor's grass is getting a little tall. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what's going on. Listen, don't be a critic. Don't be a cynic. Be a servant. Can I tell you that anybody can point a finger and talk bad about somebody? You don't have to be skilled. You don't have to be anointed. You don't even have to be a Christian. In fact, if you are a Christian and you're doing that, you need to repent right now. But a man of God or a woman of God, they don't point the finger in judgment. They get out there and start serving one another. You can serve your coworkers. You can serve your boss. You can serve your friends. You can serve your strangers. You can look around this room right now and you can start asking the Lord to show you and reveal to you ways that you can serve the people who are in this service with you. And you can begin serving others by laying down your pride and your preferences to exalt the needs and the desires and preferences of others ahead of yourself. Because if we're going to live in life-giving relationships where we truly understand that we is greater than me, first and foremost, we must be willing to serve one another. Can I get an amen? Amen. Secondly, if we're going to live in life-giving relationship with each other, we've got to be willing and ready to encourage one another. I have yet to meet a person who said, I am so encouraged that if I got any more encouragement, I think I would just die. I just haven't met anybody that you know, I said, hey, you know, and I offered some encouragement. Hey, that's a nice shirt. Or, hey, you did a great job singing today. I've never met someone that I've encouraged and they went, oh, my gosh, can everybody just stop being so nice to me? I can't take it anymore. I'm so encouraged. I'm going to blow up. But I've met a lot of people. In fact, I think I'd be willing to say that every one of us in this room, myself included, we could all stand a little more encouragement in our life, right? Paul said, think of others as better than yourself. One of the ways that we do that is by recognizing that everyone I meet is going through something that I don't know anything about. And I can be like Jesus, and I can offer some encouragement to them today. Jonathan continually encouraged David. Now, I know I'm just glancing over this relationship, and we're going to dive deeper into it in the weeks to come and different stories that we're going to cover. But Jonathan would continually encourage David, especially when David faced challenges and fear and uncertainty. At some point, real soon, David's going to get to the place where Saul, the father of Jonathan, is actively trying to kill him. Come on, that'll mess your day up right there. I mean, I've had some bad days, but to the best of my knowledge, there might have been some people that wished I was dead. I don't know. But to the best of my knowledge, I've never had anybody trying to actively end me, okay? Right? That'd be pretty discouraging right there. But Jonathan continually found, listen to what 1 Samuel 23:16 says. Jonathan went to find David and encouraged him. Look at your neighbor and say, he encouraged him to stay strong in his faith in God. Can I tell you that encouragement is not just nice to have, it is a necessity to live this life that God has called us to live. Discouragement will get into your soul, into your spirit, and it will weigh you down like nothing else can weigh you down. That's why it is so important that we recognize that everyone we meet, whether we know them or not, whether we like them or not, whether we agree with them or not, they could almost for sure use some encouragement today. You say, well, Drew, that's all well and good, but I need to be encouraged. I'm the one that needs to be encouraged. Let me tell you what, I'm skipping ahead a little bit. Proverbs 11:25. The generous will prosper, and those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Let me tell you, there's a principle in the Bible. It's just as effective and as true as the law of gravity. Right? What is up must come down, whether that be insulation, water, or other roofing materials, right? If gravity works as long as you're on this planet, gravity is a non-negotiable. You can defy gravity for a period of time, but eventually gravity is going to win. Can I get an amen? There's a spiritual principle. There's a spiritual law called the law of sowing and reaping. The Bible tells us in Galatians, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatever someone sows, that they shall also reap, right? And if we sow sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. If we sow bountifully, we're going to reap bountifully. Now, don't call this karma because it's not karma, because karma is not real. I'm sorry to burst your Eastern meditation bubble this morning. But the law of sowing and reaping is very much so real. What you plant, you'll get a harvest of. And if I plant a kernel of corn, I do not get a harvest of a kernel of corn. I get an entire stalk with a multitude, right? So whatever you sow, you don't just get back what you sowed. You get back more than you sowed. Now, we could talk about generosity in our giving. We could talk about generosity in our encouragement. We could talk about sowing generously in a multitude of different things. But the bottom line is that if you're in the room this morning and you hear me saying that we should encourage each other, and the first thought that comes to your mind is, I wish someone would encourage me. First of all, I feel you. I get it. I understand how you feel. But understand this, until you are willing to plant some seeds of encouragement, you will not get a harvest of encouragement. I appreciate y'all over here. Y'all are getting it. I'm going to come over here and talk to you guys. Y'all are encouraging me right now, so I'm going to go over here and give you a harvest of encouragement. I'm just kidding. I love y'all too. Y'all are good. Come on, that was good, guys. Where y'all at today? You're reading Galatians. All right, well, I guess if I got to compete with the Apostle Paul, he's going to win. Listen, I love joking around. Where's Max at? Who said be nice? Listen, I love joking around. I love being sarcastic. And he'll tell you right now, if all you ever do is joke and be sarcastic with your buddies and your friends, can I tell you, you're robbing yourself from a life-giving relationship? You're a man of God, bro. Son, you've come further in a year than anybody I've ever known. I know you ain't gonna like this, but you ain't got the mic right now. Max done written a sermon. It's pretty good, too. He didn't even ask me for help. Kind of offended me. He's going to preach it one day real soon, and it's going to be awesome. Yeah. I didn't ask your permission. But let me encourage you in this. Everything that God has done in your life over the last year is just a foretaste of what's to come over the next several years. Yeah. Listen, I love joking, I love being sarcastic, but there comes a time where we have to recognize that everyone in your life, even the ones that are your close buddies, you don't know what they're going through on the inside. You don't know every detail to every story. So be a man or woman of God and choose to speak life and encouragement to your friends. Choose to speak life and encouragement to your spouse. Choose to speak life and encouragement to your kids, right? Because you're going to get a harvest of what you plant. Man, I didn't even have that. That's not even in my notes today. That's why Galatians wasn't on the screen, Sarah. That one was for free. De-elevate is a word? Praise God. All right. If it wasn't, it is now. The writer of Hebrews says this, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together. How many of you understand that coming to church on Sunday is important? How many of you understand being part of a life group is important? Right? Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of the return of Christ is drawing near. Who needs encouragement in your life right now? Come on, who do you need to text today? Who do you need to call today? Who do you need to talk to in this room before they walk out the door today and remind them of what you see in them and call out the things of God in their life? And here's the thing, if you begin asking the Lord, and I encourage you to do this, ask God to begin opening up your spiritual eyes so that you can see people the way He sees people. Right? So that you can ask God to give you discernment. We often talk about discernment in ways that are like, we're looking for trouble. But can I help you understand that having discernment is could also and should be used to be able, as the Spirit gifts you and enables you to feel what someone else is feeling so that you can be led of the Holy Spirit to speak life specifically into their situation. Encourage one another. Point number three, in life-giving relationships, we produce with one another. David and Jonathan's friendship was not just beneficial emotionally. It produced spiritual fruit, and it strengthened the purposes of God in their life and in the kingdom of Israel. Together, they defended Israel against attacks of the enemy, and Jonathan actually, even though it was rightfully his, Jonathan helped David step confidently into the role that God had called him to fill for his life, which was to be the king of Israel. Can I tell you today that life-giving relationships produce spiritual fruit in our lives. They grow us. They sharpen us. They help us, right? They help us fulfill God's calling on our lives. Proverbs, again, Solomon writes, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Paul writes of the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 12, and he says, the body has many different parts, not just one part. He's talking about the body of Christ. Now, I'm thankful for my knees. That's about the only thing I've got that doesn't hurt occasionally. I shouldn't have said that. Yeah. Knees are good. Back, ankles, different story. But this is weird, right? But let's just say I took my knee and I could take it off and I could set it down, it wouldn't be able to do a whole lot by itself. I mean, I know this is weird and gross and extra weird, but understand, like it could not do anything worth doing by itself. But when it's joined up with the rest of my leg, which is connected, you know, to my hips and so on and so forth, then it gives my body the ability. Look, I can do this. I don't want to squat too low. I might not be able to get back up. But, right? Now, another illustration is I could get the entire band up here, and we could have Jonathan, who's a fantastic drummer. Come on, give it up for Jonathan, right? And he could come over here, and he could play the drums. And listen, if Jonathan were playing the drums by himself, it would sound great. It would sound good. But it wouldn't be what it could be. Right? And then if we got Jeff back up here on the bass and he was just boom, 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 you know, plucking around, like it could sound good, especially if he's playing some jazz, you know, it'd be fun, right? But it wouldn't be what it could be, right? But if you get Jonathan going and then you get Jeff on the bass and then you get these amazing singers who begin to sing Gratitude or some other amazing worship song and you get Logan here on the guitar and then how many of you love hearing Irby play the saxophone? Right? And then you get Don over here on keys with his, I can't do, I was going to, I throw up my hands. Yeah. Praise him again. I can't do it. Yeah. It's unfair that a guy that looks like that has the range of Mariah Carey. Yeah. Yeah. And then they start working together. It goes from a sound to a song. You know, It goes from a sound to a song that benefits the body, right? You see, when we come together as the body, oh, and let's not forget, we got Mr. Matthew Coleman back there running the board. We got Caitlin running the slides and Shekiah running the camera so that everyone watching online can join in as well, right? You see, it takes a body to do what God has called us to do. There are no lone wolves here. Like, none of us are able to do what we've been called to do by ourselves. But when we come together as the body of Christ and we serve one another and we encourage one another, then we are able to produce with one another something that I can't produce on my own. But when we come together, we don't just make a sound, we make a song, right? Teamwork makes the dream work. Do your relationships produce spiritual fruit? Because here's what happens a lot of time in our relationships is instead of building up, we're actually, and the only reason I can say this is, and I'm ashamed to admit it, but I've been part of them. Instead of building up, we're tearing down. When we get together and instead of building one another up, we're actually tearing one another down or tearing someone else down. And I want to encourage you in this. If you're part of a toxic relationship where when you get together, all you do is complain and all you do is gripe and all you do is critique, again, I can talk about it because I've been there, done that. Got the t-shirt, but then I threw it away because I repented and got right with God. Right? Because just like God wants to use our relationships to produce spiritual fruit, the enemy wants to use our relationships to produce toxic fruit. And I'm not going to do this, but if I put someone down here on this step, how many of you know it would be a lot easier for them to pull me down than it would be for me to pull them up? Right? And so I just want to give you this warning that if you're part of relationships in this place today where spiritual fruit is not being produced and toxic fruit is being produced, first and foremost, you need to repent and give that to the Lord. And secondly, you need to have a hard conversation with that person or with those people, and you need to repent together. And if they're not willing to join you in repentance, it's time to sever that relationship at least for a season so that you can grow strong in the Lord and that when you go back, you're a minister in that relationship and not a partaker in the toxicity of that relationship. I wish I'd have heard that in high school. Come on, that's really... I'm sitting up here preaching this thinking, I didn't plan any of this. This is better than I thought. Amen. God is good. Number four, in life-giving relationships, we protect one another. Jonathan, time and time again, he protected David, mostly from his own father, King Saul. Saul will become jealous of David. I mean, we're basically right there in 1 Samuel 18. Even my heading in the Bible says Saul becomes jealous of David. And we're going to talk a lot more about this in the coming weeks. And Saul decides that he's going to kill David because I don't know when or how, but at some point he recognizes that David is probably going to be the next king. And Jonathan, Saul's son, will not be the next king. And even though Jonathan is willing to lay down his rights to the throne, Saul is not so willing. And so Saul's trying to kill David. 1 Samuel 19, Saul urged his servants and his son Jonathan to assassinate David. But Jonathan, because of his strong affection for David, told him what his father was planning. And he told David, tomorrow morning, you must find a hiding place out in the fields. Can I tell you that true friends in life-giving relationships protect each other? They protect each other physically. They protect each other emotionally, spiritually. Sometimes in life-giving relationships, we have to be willing to protect our friends from themselves. When they're going through a season where they're not thinking clearly or acting clearly, we do this by speaking truth. We do this by covering for them, covering their weaknesses, and we do this by standing against the attacks of the enemy. Paul says in Galatians 6, share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. share each other's burdens. And when you do that, you are obeying the law of Christ. Share, be willing to hurt with your friends. Be willing to celebrate. Be willing to help. Be willing to do whatever. What is the law of Christ? Jesus says, I give you this command to love one another as I have loved you. Notice Jesus doesn't say, love others the way they love you. Love others the way I have loved you. So let me ask you, whose back do you have in this house today? Look at your neighbor and say, I got your back. Come on, tell them, I got your back. When I hear someone talking negative about you, I got your back, right? If I hear some gossip about you, when it gets to me, that's when the gossip dies, because I got your back, right? When I see you acting like a fool, I got your back. That means I got your face too, right? Now, because we love people and because we care about people and because we share each other's burdens, when someone that we're in relationship with acts in a way that we know is not Christ-like, we don't expose them, we cover them, and we go to them face-to-face, right, person-to-person, and we talk to them even at risk of them not liking us because we love them more than we love their opinion of me. Come on, that's real love. Because if I only talk to you when I know it's going to go well for me, that is me putting me above you. But if I'm willing to risk the relationship by saying, hey, Stephen, I'm sorry, you just sit in the front row, this is what you get. Hey, man, I've been hearing some things, man, and I love you, and I just want you to know, and this is not true, I just want everybody to know this, just for the record. Because Stephen's a man of God. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Right? But what I wouldn't do is get up here on this platform and be like, hey, everybody look at Stephen. He's been acting crazy. Right? I can't tell if you're laughing because you think this is funny or because you're going to cut me later. Because you're crazy. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about it. Right? Whose back do you have? And let me ask you this as well. Who's got your back? I'm going to tell you right now, in this room, we've got to have each other's backs. Life is too short and eternity is too long to not stand up and protect one another and love one another enough to have hard conversations with each other. And last, but certainly not least, in a life-giving relationship, we pray for one another. We pray for one another. Prayer, more than serving, encouraging, confronting, or whatever, is the ultimate demonstration of care and love in our relationships. Jonathan and David, there's no account in Scripture recorded where they prayed with each other or for one another. But if you study both of their lives, you discover that they were both fully committed to the Lord. And they were both fully committed to one another. So I think it is a safe assumption to believe that they did pray for one another and with one another. It's just not recorded in Scripture. Life-giving relationships, whether we're talking marriage, with our kids, with our family, friends, co-workers even, and certainly our church family, is rooted in prayer for and with one another. Jesus prayed for his disciples. Paul prayed for those that he wrote to. And we are called to pray for one another. James 5:16, James, the half-brother of Jesus, he instructs us and he says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Can I tell you that you need people in your life, not just the Lord, but you need people in your life that you can confess your sins to. Because sin thrives in isolation. But when it is brought out into the light, it loses its power. Confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. You need people in your life, and you need to be a person in someone else's life that when they ask you to pray, you actually pray. I'm not going to lie to you. There have been times, and it's gotten better as I've gotten older, but there have been times that someone said, hey, can you pray for me about this? I said, yeah, I'll pray for you, Josh. And then this has happened. Y'all promise not to judge me? We listen and we don't judge. Need to have a sermon on that one day. There have been times people have asked me to pray. Josh said, you know, he may ask me to pray. 2 or 3 weeks go by. He finds me at church. He says, hey, man, thank you for praying for me. Yeah, thank you for praying for me. God came through and this happened. And the whole time I'm going, I'm glad he did because I forgot all about praying for you. Yeah, brother, you're so welcome. It was my prayer that made the difference. Anybody honest enough in the room to say, sometimes I've been asked to pray and I forgot to do it? Come on. I see some of y'all are like, nope, I never did it. I just tell them I'm not going to pray. That's how I get out of it. Can I give you some sincere advice? When someone, and this is going to take some courage on some of your parts, when someone comes to you and they say, hey, would you pray for me? And then they fill in the blank with their situation or their request. Don't say, yeah, I will pray for you. Go to them right there and say, let's pray right now. Whether you're at church, whether you're at home, whether you're at work, or whether you're at Walmart, God knows you need to be praying around Walmart. Right? And listen, for some of you, that's going to be a step of faith and boldness. And for some of you, let's just be real, for many of us, that's hard. Because there's a lot of things working against us right there. Number one, some of us in the room, we struggle to pray in front of other people, period. But can I tell you that if Jesus is your Lord, that you've been redeemed and made new, listen, God is not looking for perfect prayer. He is looking for people who will come to him with humility and sincerity. And you ain't got to get all the words right. You don't need to talk in King James English. You don't have to say or know all the right things. Listen, you love that person and you love the Lord and you just speak from the heart and your heavenly Father will hear you because the earnest prayer of a righteous person availeth much. So I just want to go ahead and put that to rest for you. It is not about being perfect. It is about being sincere and humble before the Lord. And you can trust that God will hear an authentic prayer before he will hear a perfected prayer every single time. And secondly, it might be difficult for you because not only are you praying with another person right here and right now, but you might be praying in a public place where other people may be watching, may be listening, and it may feel strange. It may feel awkward. In fact, for many of you, it will feel strange and it will feel awkward. And I want to encourage you to understand that there may come a time where God asks you to pray because a person asks you to pray, right here, right now, in the middle of wherever we are in this public place, not just because you need to pray with this person, but because there might be someone around you that needs that exposure to the goodness of God. Man, you just never know what obedience can do. You never know what being led of the Spirit can do. If you will just surrender your pride, surrender your desires, and you will choose first and foremost to put what God wants above everything else, and then secondly, to put others before yourself. What you're doing in those moments is you're literally just taking the lid and you're throwing it off on what God can do in you, through you, and around you. Come on, let's rejoice in the Lord for a moment. Amen. So let's do this as well. Just right where you were seated, if you're in this house today and you need prayer, it doesn't matter what it's for, big, small, or somewhere in between, whatever it may be, just right where you are seated right now, if you're saying, Drew, I need prayer today, I need God to move in my life today, will you just stand to your feet? Just be brave, be bold, be sincere, be honest. There's no shame in this place. It's not allowed. When you walk in these doors, shame has to stay out there, right? Come on, stand to your feet if you need prayer today. Come on, come on, all over the room, all over the room, all over the room. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Now listen, this is what I want to do. Don's going to lead us for a few moments. If you are still seated, I want to ask you, even if you don't know them, they're your brother, they're your sister in Christ. And kingdom blood is, there is no thicker blood than kingdom blood. And if you're still seated, I want to ask you with all the boldness of God in your heart, would you stand and find someone that is standing right now? And would you go to them and very lovingly and respectfully just go to them and place a hand on their shoulder, maybe even take them by the hand. And you can have a conversation with them if you need to. Maybe you need to ask them, and that's okay. Hey, what can I pray with you about right now? And would you begin over the next just few minutes, would you begin to pray for these people, for this person that you're going to go to? Would you pray for them the way you would want someone to pray for you? Pray for them out loud. Let them hear you speak life over them. And let me remind you, it is not about having perfect words. It is about being authentic before them and before the Lord. It's not about saying the right things or knowing the right things. It is about loving your neighbor as yourself and loving the Lord your God. Can I get another amen? So I'm going to pray, and then I want you, if you're still seated, I want you to find one of these men or women of God, and I want you very lovingly and very sincerely to pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you, and we honor you, and we thank you, God, for your presence in this place today. For every single person that is on their feet right now, Lord, I don't know all the situations. I know some, but I do not know all. But Lord, you do. You know everything that they're walking through. And God, I pray in the strong name of Jesus that you would bring healing, Lord, that you would bring comfort, that you would bring help, that you would bring wholeness, provision, and guidance, Lord, to these men and to these women. And for those who are about to move and pray, God, I pray and ask that you would fill them with your Spirit, that you would give them boldness and courage to step out of comfort zones and to believe in agreement together with their brothers and sisters in Christ for a move of God in their lives like they have never experienced before. And we believe it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want everyone else, if you would, go and find someone who is standing and begin to believe the Lord with them and for them right now. Thank you.
Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Lord, bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Beside you, all around you, and within you, he is with you, he is with you, in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, and your going, in your weeping, and rejoicing, he is for you, 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 he is for you. He is for you. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations in your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing, he is for you, 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 is for you. So amen, 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 amen. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations in your family and your children and the children and the children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, he is for you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going. He is going and rejoicing. He is for you, 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 he is for you.
Can we sing it together?
Amen. 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 Amen, amen, amen.
Before we go, I want to also let you understand that Jesus, he is our Savior, he is our King, but he is also our model. Jesus, he came and he served, he encouraged, he recruited 12 ragtag disciples and they produced spiritual fruit together. They protected one another and Jesus prayed for them and he prays for us today. And so today, if you're in this house and there is any question of your relationship with him, first of all, you need to know this. Too many of us, every single week, we feel like we need to get saved again because we did something wrong. Can I just tell you, that's not how this works. Come on, his grace is better than your bad day. The power of the resurrection is stronger than you saying a bad word in traffic. Now, I'm not saying that we don't go to the Lord in repentance. I'm not saying that, because we do. But I am saying that your relationship with God was not immediately and automatically and eternally severed in that moment of your failure, because his grace is better. And so if there's any guilt on you today because you weren't perfect this week, can I just go ahead and tell you, unless your name is Jesus Christ, every single week that every single person has ever lived from the beginning of time to right now and until the end of the age, you're going to have a bad week. Every week's going to be a bad week if perfection is the goal. But if you're in this place today and you know that your heart is not right with the Lord, if you're distant from God and He feels distant from you, I'm not going to ask you to bow heads and close eyes, but I am going to ask you right where you are, just as, not because I need to know, not because your neighbor needs to know, and not even because Jesus needs to know, but as a step of boldness of saying, listen, I'm just confessing that, and I don't want to live that way anymore, and I'm going to make it public, because when we bring things out into the light, that's when God can move and God can bring healing. So if you're in the house today and you are distant from God, first of all, we love you, and this is not a place of judgment. This is a place of grace. If you're in the house today and you know in your heart, I'm far from the Lord, but I do not want to walk out that doors that same way, just right where you were standing, would you just lift your hand high in the air right now so I can pray for you? I see you, ma'am. Come on. Anybody, I see you, brother. I see you, ma'am. I see you. Come on, lift it real high. Lift it real high. Come on, can I get some brothers? Keep it up. Keep it up. Can I get some brothers and sisters in Christ to go to these individuals? Right, we got someone. We got Charles, right? Yes, sir, brother. I remember. Can we go right there in the back as well? And can we just pray for one another? Can we pray for these men, these women right now? Come on. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we accept the grace of God that is ours, not because we earned it, but because you have so graciously and selflessly offered it to us. And we pray for these men and for these women that right now that they would accept the forgiveness that is theirs through the shed blood of Jesus. And Lord, that they would walk in the newness of life, God, as they repent of sin. And Lord, that any barrier between them and your manifest presence would be absolutely broken. And that, God, that your love would come into their life like a raging flood, Lord, and that it would overtake them. That your grace, Lord, would become stronger than any doubt, any fear, any condemnation, and that the love of God would become their identity, not their failures, not their shortcomings, and not their mistakes, but God, that your grace, which is sufficient, would become our new identity as we accept the role, as we accept the name, child, son, daughter of God. In Jesus' name, let it be so. Let it be so, and let it be so. Come on, all across the house, can we celebrate the Lord? Amen. I pray over your life, house, that the Lord would bless you and protect you, that the Lord would smile on you and be gracious to you, that He would show you His favor, and that He would give you His peace, not the peace that the world gives, but the peace that only God can give. Let it be so in Jesus' name. God bless you, and we will see you again real soon.